Anybody know where the memory verse is? Psalm 73:24. What's it say? That's correct, Sister Pat. Thank you. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That receives a big deal. You're going to have to receive Him before He receives you. You get to receive Him, and then He'll receive you. Let's try it together. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Together. Good. Again. That's great. Again. Good. One more time. Good, good.
He was, He is today.
Another miracle. How about thanking him, Sister Becky? Go ahead and thank him.
Yeah. Yep.
Change us and give us new direction and
we can get your Bible ready. It's already been prayed, mentioned a couple times here about that he would do it this morning, that he would do it. So we're going to look up a lot of verses, a lot of verses. If I say it, you don't have to believe it. I'm a horse trader. You can't depend on me. You can't trust me. You can't rely on me. But if God says it, that counsel is going to guide us.
Yeah.
If he says it, not only do you have to believe it, you get to believe it.
Yeah.
It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege to have a Bible, just to have one. Now, remind me what book we're in. First John's correct. Let's read the first three verses, get our mind back to where it belongs and review a little bit. That which was from the beginning, I think we figured out last week that that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think it's the Bible, that's okay. It was in the beginning too. Which we have heard, John saying, I heard him. He said, you didn't hear him, I heard him. Which we have seen with our eyes. He said, I saw him, you didn't see him. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about him. He said, which we have looked upon. He said, I saw him. I didn't just see him, our hands have handled. He said, I touched him. I laid my head on his breast. I heard the heartbeat of God. I know what he's thinking. I know what he's wanting. And John's going to tell us about it. Of the Word of Life. That's one of his names, Word of Life. And we're going to see life is one of John's favorite words. It's a capital W word, Word of Life. Verse 2, for the life, that's neuter, by the way. It's not masculine nor feminine. Life's not. Was manifest. The Word of Life was manifest, and the life was manifest, and we have seen it. That's the Lord. Bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. It's not regular old life. Through and through the Bible, it's eternal life. You don't have to believe in eternal security if you don't want to, but it's eternal life is what the Bible calls it. It doesn't start and end. You don't have to wait till you go to heaven to see if you got it or not. You don't have to wait till judgment day. You get Jesus in your heart and you have eternal life. He is life, which was with the Father. That's where he was and was manifest unto us. He came. He came to earth. God with us. That was God in the flesh. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's why it all happened, so we could get in on it too. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now in the Old Testament, we got a picture of this. The veil was red and blue and purple. Red, Adam's name means red. He was the first Adam. Then the Lord Jesus was the last Adam. Be a picture of red. Blue represents heaven. And then blended together, you take a can of red paint and a can of blue paint and pour it together, and you end up with purple, royalty, God with us again. And you can't tell where the blue started and the red ended, or where the red started and the blue ends. He's the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. His humanity and his deity. Deity is a fancy word for God. That means he's God. When he was here, he sat on Jacob's well, wearied with his journey. That's the body he chose to live in for 33 years, was tired, and he sat down on the well. That was his humanity. And then a lady asked for a drink of water, and he told her all things. A stranger asked for a drink of water, and he told her all things she ever had done. And that's his deity. That's the God-man right there. He knew everything. And in Simon Peter's boat, he fell asleep. That's the body he chose to live in for 33 years, was tired, and he fell asleep. Mary is the mother of that body. She's not the mother of God. Jesus always had been in the beginning. This is his body was tired. And then they woke him up. They said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" He said, "Peace be still." And the winds obeyed him. That's his God side. That's the God part. At Bethany, he went to the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and he wept. That's his body. That's his human side. And then later he said, "Lazarus, come forth." That's his God side. If he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole graveyard would have emptied out, because that was his God side. He said Lazarus, and Lazarus come out. That's the God man. That's the God man. John said, "I saw him." Let's look at it in John 21, 25. All these things are also, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, of the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And John's trying to tell us about him. I'm trying to tell about him, and that you never get done. You never get done. Here's the one who was completely unselfish. Never lost his temper, never hasty, never in a hurry, never thoughtless, never unkind, treated all men alike, rich and poor, friend and foe. He loved everybody. Loved everybody. John said, we have seen. You haven't seen him. He said, we know. We saw him. The God-man. The God-man. The St. John shows God in Christ. 1 John, the epistles, shows God in us. That's how we're going to get the fellowship. That's why God went through those steps, so we'd have the fellowship. The eternal life was inherent in Christ, but it's inherited in you. In you. Now, in verse 4, it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." We'll look at that joy for a little bit. If you walk down the street, you're going to see a lot of sad faces.
Right.
And we're not talking about happiness. That's completely different.
Yes,
happiness depends on what's happening. Like if I'm at the state fair, well, I'm happy then because of happenings and circumstances around me. But joy, you can have joy down at the funeral home. You can have joy in the hospital room.
Right.
That's different. And I've got an old book that's got some illustrations in it. It's full of illustrations. And I looked up joy, see if we could get us something. And this is back in the 1700s, maybe even the 1500s. It talks about joy in those martyrs that were rejoicing when they were headed to the stake, when they were headed to the flame.
Right.
They had joy. They were rejoicing, some of those. And what I read, one of them said, "Joy is accessible, but many times we shut it up." Remember all those promises we were looking up there about a month or two ago? Many times I don't look them up, I shut them up. And there, that might be why I don't have joy sometimes.
Right.
But that's where joy is. One fella said, "No man can be called blessed before his death." He said the joy's in front of us. It's in the future. The Lord's coming back, and we're going home. Joy, joy. Which I know that's maybe that stick's too long. Maybe that carrot's too far out there. Another one said, "God is fashioning the human heart for future joy. He only sounds a string here and there to see how far his work has progressed." Let me read that again. God is fashioning the human heart for future joy, getting ready to see him, eternity in heaven. He only sounds a string here and there to see how far his work has progressed. You know, like when Sister Jean came in. And here's my favorite. It's the true source of joy. It says little Annie had for some time been very sad, but one day was seen to appear very happy. Now, they use the word happy. We're talking about joy. Her eyes sparkled with joy. She seemed as though she could hardly bear the pleasure she felt. It was so great. Annie, why are you so cheerful? Oh, she said, it's because I'm so happy. But why are you so happy? Oh, she said, I was wicked and God was angry with me. But now he's forgiven me and that is why I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Joy. We're talking about joy. Joy. So let's look up some verses here. Joy is an inner gladness, like comes from the written word. It's a deep-seated pleasure. A cheerful heart leads to cheerful behavior. Joy divine, it comes from God, is the only place you can get it. Material things and cheap thrills don't get it. They're temporary. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. See, the first thing I did when the soul winners knocked on my door, came around visiting me, the first thing they said was, do you believe the Bible? And I was scrolling down and I remembered Preacher Pennington, Wesley Pennington, he said it was the Word of God. And Mamaw, she said it was the Word of God. And Mom and Dad, they said it was the Word of God. Mabel Moore, my first grade Sunday school teacher, she said it was the Word of God. And I said, yes, I think it's the Word of God. If I hadn't had that influence, I might not have answered correctly. But the first thing I did was I received the written Word. And then later, I received the living Word. And I received Him with joy, is the way it happened. Joy doesn't depend on circumstances. Happenings are happenings. It's over matters of life and death. Psalm 5:11, charge. If you find it first and you want to, you can read it. Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. You know, Floyd said, I said rejoice, they're not rejoicing. How about, let's try it again. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. It's not always outward, I know, it's in the heart. Let them shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. How about 2 Corinthians 6:10? Done been prayed, let the Lord teach it instead of Brother Rick. 2 Corinthians 6:10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. I can identify with that. How about chapter 7, verse 4? It's still 2 Corinthians. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. What? In tribulation? Are you kidding me? That's what the martyrs did. I just read about it this morning. I was reading about it. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Philippians 1:25. The joy's in Him. And it is in Him coming back, and it is future, but there's some now. All the joy's not in the future. Every once in a while, He plucks a string. and let's just have some joy here. It sounds out here. Philippians 1:25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide continually with y'all for the furtherance and joy of faith. See, joy comes from faith. It's one thing that sparks it. Comes from faith, from trusting, from believing God's word. It's where joy comes from. Matthew 2:10. Comes from the book, comes from Him. He puts it in your heart. You know, I never saw a happy rebel. Well, except this one here. I've got to come up with a nickname. I used to be a school teacher. And I'm talking about in the classroom, I never saw a happy rebel. But you know, they want me to be like them. Now, I'm not going to trade. I'm not going to give it up. I've done made up my mind. We're going to arrive. We're headed home. And I just made up my mind I will enjoy the trip.
Right.
I'm going to have fun on the way. I know sometimes I'm too silly. I know I am. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It comes from faith. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Verse 23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Whoa, I better be faithful, hadn't I? I need to be faithful. You know, every preacher has something that they emphasize. Every person has, every church has something they emphasize. The preacher that got me saved, he emphasized faithfulness. And he was. He was the same spot for 45 years. He preached at one church for 20 years, drove from Beckley to Pipestem. And then they built him a parsonage, and he was faithful for 25 more years. Faithful. Faithful. I'm going to need to be faithful for the joy. For the joy. Acts 20:24. You know, everybody can be faithful. There's a lot of things I can't do, but everybody can be faithful. Acts 20:24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." I don't want to finish with a long mule face. I want to finish with joy. "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Nobody want to get saved if I look like I've been eating pickles. Nobody wants that. The source of the joy, there's really several. We said one was comes from faith, but also it comes from fellowship. We already read that in 1 John 1:1-3. And then victory over sin brings joy. If you don't get tricked, if I don't get slicked, victory over sin. John 16. Starting in verse 20. Purity, living clean, cause joy. Starting in verse 20, John 16:20. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." That's a promise. That's one of those promises we're talking about that's in the Word of God. And it's, we just read again in 1 John 1:4 about the Lord's Word brings joy. Doing the will of God, obeying brings joy. Prayer brings joy. John 16:24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You have not because you ask not. Fellowship with believers brings joy. Isn't it good to stand around after church is over and have church again? Fellowship with believers. That's also in 1 John. We already read that. Converts, when someone gets saved, brings joy. If you're there when someone gets saved, it's almost like getting saved again. How about Luke 15:5? Luke 15:5. And when he hath found it, this is the... this is looking for the coin. When she found it, this is a shepherd looking for the sheep. When he found it, and when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Or when the father finds the son later on in the chapter. Then 1 Thessalonians 2. Someone gets saved, it might even go across the prayer chain sometimes. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Miss Hope will come in and say, give us a jail report. She'll say, 10 came out and 3 got in. And she's pretty happy about it when that happens. Joy. We're talking about joy. Let's go back now to 1 John. God has not forgotten planet Earth. He's not unconcerned or disinterested. He wants to be involved in our life. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to know about the next world. But you can't enter into the spirit world and know about the next world. So God came and entered into your world so you could know about Him. One of man's greatest needs is the Word of God. John saw him. He more than saw him. It wasn't a glance. It was a gaze. It was a continued gaze for three and a half years. John lived with him. He said, this is what he was like. This is what it's like. He says, not a spook, not a ghost. The Word expressed what God was thinking. The living Word showed what God was thinking. They matched. The written Word and the living Word match. The message is the good news. The good news. It's wonderful that God became a man without ceasing to be God. The God-man. He laid aside His glory, not His deity. And John was an eyewitness. He said, I declare Him. I declare Him. Every man that cometh into the world has enough light to condemn him, but not enough light to save him. We need the Lord Jesus. Light, light. Let's go, I said to turn to 1 John. Let's look at it here in chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now I said life is neuter, not masculine or feminine. Light is neuter, also not masculine nor feminine. It's not a problem that God is light or God is love. You see it over in chapter 4, verse 16. It says, we have known and believed the love of God that God hath to us. God is love. God is life, God is love, and God is light. And that's no problem. That's what the Bible says. Light convicts us. Convicts us of my condition, and it convicts of my conduct. That I've got them both wrong. That I need help. That I need a perfect sinless Savior. It's what light shows me. And that's good news. It's good news. Darkness cannot drive out light, but light can drive out darkness. And light cannot be corrupted. If I had a quart jar here of muddy water and the light shines through it, on the other side, the light's still pure.
Right.
It's still pure. It didn't affect the light. Light cannot be defiled. A plant. Kim has some plants in the windowsill right above where I wash dishes. And they grow, all plants grow toward the light. Toward the light. Light cannot be defiled. Darkness doesn't bother. Matter of fact, I'm afraid of the dark. I'm going to continue to be afraid of the dark. I'm glad to be afraid of the dark. I need to nurture fear of darkness. I need to cultivate that. To walk in the light, nothing shady. How about that? I don't need to be a shady character. I need to walk in the light. That's what I need to do. Nothing shady. No spooks like Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo's afraid of the light. They don't like light. Sinners don't like light. John 3:19. See, I used to not like to come to church. I didn't hang around the Bible. I didn't hang around those that did. I didn't like light. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. See, it condemned me. Church condemned me. The Bible condemned me. Bible believers condemned me. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I can testify to that. That's true. But now I'm afraid of the dark. Now I embrace the light. I'm thankful for the light.
Amen.
Thankful for the light. I need the light. Let's look down there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It's called the Christian's bar of soap. I need to use it regular. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll wash us just white as snow like the day we got saved. We don't get saved again. What I end up doing a lot is say, Lord, I messed up again. I failed again. God, please help me. Please forgive me. And guess what He does? He does. He forgives me and He helps me along the way. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't clean me up. They all pointed to Calvary, to the blood of God from the God-man. The blood of Jesus, that's what cleanses us from all sin. Okay, get your Bible ready again. A lot more verses. Can you take it or you want to quit? You tired? We'll go home. Huh? You sure?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, how about this? Darkness describes the state of man and the works of man, of Rick, symbolizes evil and everything that I should not do and everything that a person should not do. Darkness means that man is ignorant of God. See, I didn't know. I was telling the preacher the other day, I didn't know. I was 21 years old. He grew up in a preacher's home, but I didn't know how to be saved. I didn't know it was Jesus. I thought good people went to heaven and bad people went to hell. Well, that's TV religion. That's religion.
Right.
I didn't know. Let's check it out in Romans 1:21. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I had a Bible, but I didn't understand. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, I just got darker and darker. If someone puts off being saved, there's just going to be more darkness, more sin added to my account. If I wasn't saved today and I was going to wait till tomorrow or next week to get saved, there would just be more sins to my account. There's no point to wait. Today is the day of salvation. Darkness means a man does not live or walk in the light of God. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Darkness means a person is blind to the light and stumbles through life. John 11. John 11, 9 and 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. Lovers of darkness, see. Darkness means that a person does not understand. You know, in the cartoons, sometimes someone will get an idea and there'll be a light bulb come up over their head. It means they saw the light. Sometimes the teacher's trying to explain that algebra problem and you don't understand. All of a sudden you'll say, I see. I see. The light bulb come on. So you've got some light. You've got some understanding. Darkness means we don't understand. We don't comprehend. John 1:5. Sometimes we'll say it this way. He doesn't have a clue. John 1:5. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the way I was for 21 years. I had light. I'd been to church. I had ears and couldn't hear. I comprehended it not. The light was all around me, and I didn't comprehend it. Darkness means a person does not see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Blind. See, I was blind and doomed and damned. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Can you do that? It's what He did. He said, light, come, let there be light. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Downstairs, they're getting knowledge about Jesus. Right. And then hopefully they'll convert that into faith in Christ.
Right.
First, you have to know. If you never heard His name, you can never be saved. If you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get saved. You don't know about Him. You must know. That's why we send missionaries. If people in Kenya could be saved without hearing the name of Christ, we'd be stupid to send missionaries. If some's going to be saved anyway, without His name. Darkness means evil behavior and deeds. John 3. John 3, 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh... I'm sorry. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or made known, that they are wrought in God. Darkness means hate. Means hate. 1 John 2. 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Darkness means hate. Darkness means a secret life. It means secret sins. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. It's all going to come to light one day. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall everyone have praise of God, every man have praise of God. See, one day God's going to show my heart. Sometimes the mind and heart's used interchangeable. He's going to show my heart and mind on the big screen. One day. Darkness means a secret life. Darkness means man's nature is darkness. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Were, equal signs. It wasn't just I was in the dark. I was darkness. I'm the one your mother told you not to play with. Yeah. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hey, that's going to give me a little bit of joy there, but now. Darkness means that my eye is focused on evil. Matthew 6. This is the last one. You can cheer up. Cheer. A little bit of joy. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. Hallelujah for the day we saw the light. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you for giving us a portable light to carry around with us. Thank you for you moving in our heart, the light of the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.